Please forgive my low energy because I honestly feel so sick right now. Hi, this is Felicia. You're listening to The Vegan Inquisition. In case this is your first time listening, this is basically just a podcast where every single Thursday I come, I sit down, and as a vegan, I just talk about literally whatever comes to, well, not whatever comes to mind. I mean, the podcast is about veganism. It's not just me rambling on for no reason, but I mean, that kind of is what the beginning is. Just like to give a little bit of a rundown of my week before I jump into, you know, the meat of the podcast and I just talk about those fun vegan topics. But, you know, I've had a lot going on. So first of all, I feel awful right now. So like I said, please forgive my low energy. I feel like I sound disgusting. I had one a crappy day. Two, my chest, I don't know what's going on. Like, my chest just hurts right now. It's also 4 a.m. So with all three of those things combined, I mean, you know, I'm going to do my best to bring you as lively as a podcast as I possibly can, especially because I really just don't want to have to like do too much editing, or I don't want to have to edit this at all. This is probably just going to be one long cut except for like the intro music. So we're going to see how that goes because usually my podcasts are like very heavily edited because I never know what I want to say. I'll just like sit there. I don't know. We don't need to get into all of this, but anyways. So Felicia, how has your week been? Oh my gosh, wow, thanks for asking. My week has been okay. So I last week ended up buying a new podcast. Not a new podcast, what the hell am I talking about? I bought a new laptop because since I started freelancing as my job, the current laptop that I had just really wasn't working. It hadn't been working for me even just for my own YouTube channel. But then now also having like, I don't know, the responsibility of other people, I just needed to upgrade. And honestly, freelancing has been going pretty well. I'm kind of shocked by how well it's been going in such a short period of time. Right now I have about like 3 steady clients, which is really cool. But yeah, it's funny because I'm actually returning the laptop that I bought. I ended up buying a 15-inch 2019 MacBook Pro with like the touch bar. And honestly, I feel like this laptop just has like a lot of issues, a few kinks that need to be worked out. And I just don't really want to be... I don't want to be used as like a guinea pig by Apple. Like, I'm just scared that something is going to go really wrong with this laptop and I'm going to have to send it in for repairs for like 2-3 weeks at a time. And I'm just going to be stuck, especially because low key, I'm already starting to have some issues with it. And I'm just really not interested in dealing with this at all. So I'm returning it. I'm buying a new one. And yeah, but yeah, that has been my week, but, yeah, so again, I'm so sorry, like, please forgive me, it is 4:20, blaze it, it's 4:20 a.m. in the morning, but I'm just, you know, I'm pressing on, I'm doing my best, and, you know, I've been pushing myself a lot recently. Honestly, I really have been like doing a lot more to put myself out there. And the other week, my sister and I, we actually ended up going to a networking event in Toronto for, I really don't want to say for influencers because one, I just don't like the word. I feel like a lot of people who try to do social media as a thing, it just feels uncomfortable to say. But we went to this networking event in Toronto, and when we pulled up, I forgot to say, I'm getting into the story now. This podcast, I really hope that there is no one listening and this is like the first podcast that you're ever listening to. Maybe go back and listen to last week's episode or maybe like the week before that. I promise I'm usually a lot more put together. But right now, you know, we're just kind of rolling with things and we're just kind of seeing where the universe takes us. So the other week or the other month, my sister and I ended up going to this networking event in Toronto, and we pulled up, it was actually like two doors, like it literally was right beside Yam Chops, which I actually told a story about Yam Chops on this podcast before. It was the vegan butcher shop that I went to. Basically, I really, every time I mention it, people are like, what the hell is that? Like, how does that even work? I don't know how to explain it, okay? It's just, it's a butcher shop, but it's vegan. They have like Beyond Meat burgers, or is it Impossible Burgers? I can't remember. One of the two. And then they also have like just like fake meat stuff made out of plants, I guess, that they are selling. And then just like random things here and there, like potato salad and samosas and like reusable straws and just random stuff that you can buy from them. But yeah, Yam Chops is literally like two doors down, and which meant that Apocalypse was just up the road. So contemplated, you know, picking myself up a nice little vegan pizza. I didn't end up doing that. But yeah, so get to the event, and you know, of course, we were networking and such. And as I'm talking to, I can't remember what her name was. I'm honestly really awful with names, but I was talking to someone, and I guess that they knew the host of the event. And when I mentioned the fact that I made, you know, for the most part, I make vegan content online, she was just like, oh, wow, like, did you know that the host is actually vegan? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, that's actually so cool. I didn't know that. And then it kind of hit me. And this is kind of like, this isn't even really what like the bulk of the podcast is about. I'm just going to kind of like touch on this and like, I don't know, like gloss over it and move on. But just like an ethical question to start your morning, I guess. But if you're like a vegan host, are you, I don't want to say allowed to, but like, should you serve non-vegan things? Like, is it okay? Because I was shocked then at the lack of vegan options, because there was like specific, they had like, I don't know, they kept bringing out like different like trays of like food and stuff, not like whole trays of food, but they had like people walking around and like with like, what are they called, hors d'oeuvres, felt very fancy. And there was the first one that they brought out was like salmon, like sliced salmon on like bread, I don't know, something with salmon on it. And like a few of the other things that they brought out, they also weren't vegan. So I was kind of shocked to be like, oh, like the, I don't know, it's hosted by a vegan, but like if you funded this event and you paid for these non-vegan things, like, is that okay? I don't know. This is kind of like the second, I guess, event that I've been to where it's been hosted by a vegan, but there are non-vegan options there. And I'm always kind of like curious about that, because for me, I feel like if I did that, like I would want to be able to eat. This is gross, because I feel like it should be like more so like, oh, like justice for the animals, which obviously it is. But even just on a more, not a more basic level, but I don't want to host something where I don't have the option to eat the food that I purchased. I feel like that's just a little, I don't know. It's just, it's not the decision that I would make, but I mean, just like a ethical question to titillate your senses for the morning. But yeah, every conversation that I had with people kind of went along the lines of, oh, like, hey, so what do you do? Oh, this is what I do. What do you do? Oh, this is my Instagram. Follow me. Like, it was that kind of thing. And I feel like I'm honestly kind of like getting over it as time goes on. And as I get like a bit older, I feel like when I was younger, I was like super extroverted and like super outgoing. And then when I went to university, things kind of just like, I don't know, I became a lot more introverted, a lot more quiet, I guess. And I'm still getting over my social awkwardness a bit. But I was sitting down awkwardly beside my sister, and I guess some guy saw me sitting there just not interacting with anyone, not doing anything, and he kind of waves me over to come sit next to him. And I'm like, you know what, I'm not doing anything right now, I have no one to talk to. I'm supposed to be networking. So let me go do that. So I get up, go sit beside him, and we start going over the regular script of what every single conversation has been like up until that point. So, what do you do? I can't remember exactly what he said, but he did something tech related. Then he asked me what I did. I mentioned that I make YouTube videos, I have a podcast, so on and so forth. And I think he was interested about the podcast, because this is awkward. I really shouldn't be talking about him. If I really hope that he, I don't know, just doesn't listen. If you are listening, I don't really know what to say. I guess I don't know. But he seemed interested in the podcast, so he asked what the title was, and I told him. And it's kind of hard for me to hide the fact that I'm vegan just from the name of my podcast, because it's literally called The Vegan Inquisition. And it's not that I want to necessarily hide the fact that I'm vegan, but I sometimes try to steer clear of the topic, literally just because I don't want to be in situations or conversations like the one that followed. But, so yeah, I gave him the name of my podcast, and then we end up launching into this conversation about veganism. And of course, this is where things always just go terribly wrong. And sometimes I really do forget that I have kind of like isolated myself in this like vegan bubble. And it's called it's like an ideological echo chamber, where everyone that is close to me, or most of the people that like I watch online, they're all, not even all of them are vegan, but they all acknowledge at least like the benefits of eating a plant-based diet, or they can at least be like, oh, I try not to have certain meats, or so on and so forth. Like, I try to kind of like, I try not to interact with people who are closed-minded, really, in like any way. Maybe that's closed-minded of me not to do that, and maybe this is why this interaction was just so jarring for me. But I like to surround myself with people who are like-minded. I feel like most people are like that. But then once you do that, you kind of end up almost closing yourself off from the rest of society, and realizing that like, or forgetting, sorry, that like, hey, not everyone sees the world in the same way that I do, or understands it in the same way that I do. And yeah, so I mentioned to this guy that I'm vegan, and the first thing that he says to me is, oh, so you're not going to trick me, right? And I'm just confused, because I've never heard that as an immediate reaction to veganism before. I've heard, oh, how long have you been vegan? Or I've heard, I tried to go vegan for a week and I couldn't do it. I've heard, isn't it so expensive? I've heard, oh, so what do you eat? I've heard everything. This is the first time that I've ever heard, you're not going to trick me, right? So now I'm intrigued. And I ask him, what do you mean, am I going to trick you? Then he launches into this ridiculous story about how one of his coworkers is also vegan. And when he found out that she was vegan, he, I guess, had a conversation with her along the same lines as the one that he ended up having with me. And his coworker was just like, you know what, like, let me bring you some vegan cookies to try. And one day she came into work, she brought him the vegan cookies, and he was just like, yeah, but like, she tricked me. And I was so disappointed, because when she brought me the cookies, they were just like regular cookies. Like, they were just like made of flour and stuff like that. And I sit there and I'm like, What do you mean they were just like made of flour? He's like, they were just like regular cookies. Like, it was just like a cookie. And I'm like, what were you expecting? Like, what were you expecting? He's like, I don't know. Well, if you're going to tell me you're going to bring me a vegan cookie, it's like, you can't just bring me something that's just normal. Like, I'm expecting something green, maybe something that glows in the dark. I'm not making this up. Maybe something green, maybe something that glows in the dark. You can't tell me that you're going to bring me a vegan cookie, then just bring me a cookie. And I was just confused, I guess, to say the least. But I try to explain to him, and I'm like, yeah, but I feel like that's kind of like the whole point. And I think that that's the whole point, is that it is just kind of like normal food, and that a lot of people have this idea that vegan food is like specialty glow-in-the-dark cookies, when in reality it's just a regular cookie, but it just doesn't have any eggs in it and doesn't have any milk. And he was just like, yeah, but it's just so disappointing. I feel like vegans are like, I don't know. Then he launched into this whole thing about vegans and about how, about how we want you to think, or quote unquote want you to think a certain way, and like want you to think that vegan food looks a certain way when apparently it doesn't, even though I guess his coworker had already proven that his hypothesis wrong. But that, like, yeah, so according to him, that vegans want you to think a certain way about vegan food, and they want you to think that vegan things are so accessible, when in reality you can only find vegan things in like two stores, and they don't sell vegan food like anywhere. This is what he's saying to me. They don't sell vegan food anywhere. Like, you can't even find it. And I'm gonna talk more on that in a second, but I just want you guys to keep in mind the context that this conversation is happening in, mainly the fact that we are in Toronto. Maybe if we were in, I don't know, even if we were in like this city that I'm living in now, which is just kind of like an hour or so outside of Toronto, where veganism is a lot less accessible here, but to live in, like, to be in Toronto and to say that veganism is inaccessible to me is odd. I think it would be inaccessible, obviously, like, based on like a few factors, like your socioeconomic status. Obviously, just because you live in Toronto doesn't immediately mean that you have access or easy access to all of the things within the city. But in Toronto, I feel like it's almost impossible to go into a store where they don't have something that's vegan, even if it's a salad. So I tried to tell him, I'm like, you know, like, I don't really think that that's true. Veganism is getting a lot more popular, and there are so many options that are popping up all over the place. And I'm just like, yeah, it's just kind of like, there are more vegans that are coming up now. So more vegan products are being created, more vegan products are being sold. Even from the time that I went vegan, there are so many changes that I've seen that are just, it's crazy. The amount of like different products that have popped up over the course of the past, oh my gosh, I've almost been vegan for 2 years, but things like, I don't know, like the Beyond Meat burger being sold in A&W, and now Tim Hortons having the Beyond sausage, new products like in like the grocery store and things like that. It's always just so fun to see and so fun to like hear about new vegan products popping up. And so I tried to like talk to him about it in that vein, instead of being like, you're wrong. What are you talking about, you privileged Torontonian? And just being like, no, you know, like, I've seen a lot of advances in the time that I've been vegan, and like, this has happened and this has happened, and just kind of trying to give him, I don't know, a more positive spin on, I guess, his view of veganism in the city. I mean, it didn't go the way that I had hoped it would. It kind of just ended up him trying to mansplain economics to me, and I just kind of, I had to stop him and be like, listen, I understand the basic tenets of economics, because he was trying to talk to me about like supply and demand and stuff, and even as I was telling him that I understood what he was saying, he just kept going, I don't know, that's a whole separate issue, I don't, that was just something that bothered me on a womanly level, I guess. I just don't like being mansplained to, especially when I try to make it very clear that I have a full understanding of what you're talking about. But anyways, at this point, I'm just regretful, I guess, about the choices that I had made that had led me up to that interaction. But it just continued to get worse from there, being trapped in this conversation that, I don't know. So I tell him that I understand basic economics. He continues on his rant, and I try to, instead of being more like loose about it, I tried to contextualize it to kind of like literally the situation that we were in right then. Because as I said, like, as my Melissa and I pulled up to this event, I noticed that Yam Chops was literally two doors down from this event. And so I mentioned that to him, and I'm like, No, I think that veganism might be, or definitely is, a bit more accessible, especially in Toronto, than you think it is. And I even acknowledged to him that in a lot of places, veganism is not accessible at all. It is not easy for everyone to be vegan, and I really don't like the idea. I don't like pushing the idea that veganism is easy for everyone, because I know that it's not true. Everyone has like different issues that they're struggling with, different barriers to veganism. And simply because I can't see a barrier because it doesn't exist for me does not mean that it doesn't exist to someone else. At the same time though, I just was talking to him about how, like, yeah, there's actually a vegan butcher shop that's like two doors down from here. There's a vegan pizza place down the street, and there's another one that's honestly not that too far up the road from here. And there's vegan food in, I'm not, like, literally almost every restaurant, every store that you walk into in Toronto. Almost, like, there's a whole vegan grocery store that exists in Toronto. Like, veganism is so accessible in this city, which is honestly a huge reason why I was so sad to be leaving Toronto once I graduated from college. One, just because I do genuinely just love the city so much. But honestly, like, living in Toronto is like a vegan wet dream. It's amazing. There are so many different vegan restaurants to choose from. There's such a huge variety. There's a vegan grocery store. Like, what? Relatively small, but like, it doesn't even matter. It's like a little niche place, but it's like the fact that that even exists is amazing to me. And I remember finding out that it existed and just being mind blown and making it like my mission to like go and visit it. And when I went there, I was just like blown away. I think I vlogged that experience, and it was like beautiful. And I like am dreaming of the day when that, I don't know, when there are more chain, there's like a chain of restaurants, or not restaurants, sorry, of grocery stores and accessible to that, or where there are, I don't know, where people just casually are able to mention that they're going to a vegan grocery store. And it's like, I know that we are a far way off from that. Maybe closer in Toronto, a lot more far off from that if you're not living in an area that is similar to this, an area like, I don't know, like Toronto, Vancouver, LA, New York, etc. But I don't know, I was just trying to give him an idea of what veganism looks like in the city, because based on what he was saying, I just didn't feel like he had, you know, a solid idea of what it was really like. And so he says to me, kind of like, I don't know, it did kind of bother me, because this entire time that he was talking to me about how inaccessible veganism is and how hard it is to be vegan and how all vegans are liars and how we want you to believe all of these lies about how normal our food is and how accessible our food is, he seemed so impassioned and he seemed so sure of himself and everything that he was saying. And when I kind of like, I don't know. You guys know me, right? You know that I really try not to take an aggressive approach and like talk down to people or be preachy towards people. And so I'm trying to gently guide him towards the truth. But I don't know. Eventually I just was kind of like, listen, like, yeah, we have this, we have this, we have this. This is what it's really like. And he kind of just goes, yeah, well, I guess maybe you'd know more about it since you're actually in it, I guess. And then just kind of like dismisses the conversation. Like, as soon as it got to like me being like, actually, no, I really don't think that you know what you're talking about. This is what it's really like. He was just so quick to just dismiss me and end the conversation, which was so, I don't want to say enraging, because it's not like I was angry. It was just annoying. But it's like, the fact that you can say, well, I guess you know more about the vegan scene in Toronto since you're actually in it, just, then why would you, I don't know, I guess, parade around pretending to be an authority about veganism? when you can acknowledge that you don't really know much about it. I feel like that's like a little bit unfair, but I'm not going to edit that out because I'm not editing this podcast, like I said, but I feel like it's a little unfair, but it's something that I feel like a lot of us have experienced, or most of us have experienced, to have someone kind of come to us that doesn't have, I guess, a solid knowledge of, I guess, like, I don't know, either like the ideology behind veganism or a solid grasp of what it looks like to put that ideology like into practice and what like a vegan life actually looks like. And to have those people kind of like question you, or to have those people not even question you, but to tell you what it's like to be vegan is quite frustrating. Especially to have them just kind of like dismiss you once they decide that, I don't know, I don't want to be a part of this conversation anymore, since I don't want you to, I don't know, the tone, the attitude of the conversation was just a little bit off-putting for me. But I tried to kind of like steer the conversation away and just talk about podcasts that we both listen to. So obviously I'd already mentioned my own podcast, talked about My Favorite Murder, another great podcast that I listen to. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, another excellent podcast that I would recommend. And then my sister actually ended up coming over because I guess she had just finished talking to whoever she had been talking to. And so my sister just kind of like, she literally just kind of like scooted over and sat there. So I like introduced her and I was just like, oh, like, this is my sister. And he turns to her and he was just like, oh, are you vegan too? You guys, just prepare yourself for this. So he's like, oh, are you vegan too? And Melissa says no. And he literally raises his hand to give her a high five. I cannot make this up. First, to be upset that someone would bring you a vegan cookie because it is not green and disgusting and does not fit into your stereotype of what you want a vegan cookie to be. And even if someone had brought you that cookie, he probably wouldn't have even eaten it because he would have been complaining about how weird and gross it is. Two, to present yourself as an authoritative figure about what veganism looks like in Toronto when you clearly are out of touch with the vegan scene in Toronto because you're not vegan and are not even really open to the idea of veganism. And then three, to give someone a high five for not being vegan in the presence of another vegan. What is the purpose? What do you gain from it? That is probably one of the cringiest interactions that I think I've ever had with a non-vegan. And the entire time, I was just like, I need a way out. I need to leave. This conversation is weird. I feel uncomfortable. I feel unsafe. Like, it was just, I don't know. It was sad to experience, but at the same time, I feel like it is on some level representative of a lot of people's views of veganism, that, you know, all of our food is super weird and gross, that it's impossible to be vegan, and that resisting veganism is somehow something to be applauded, like those, I don't know, those like weird people who scope out vegan content online just to leave comments like, I love steak, or I hope your B12 deficiency kills you. And it's like, why are you doing this? I don't know. It's just difficult for me to understand. But like I was saying, like, had this conversation taken place anywhere but Toronto, I would have honestly had to agree with some of the things that he was saying, because yeah, veganism, like I was saying before, is not accessible everywhere. And it's going to be really difficult for certain people to go vegan, literally just because of their location. I don't know if it's a man thing or if it's a non-vegan thing to pretend as though you know what you're talking about when you have no idea, but it was honestly just unbearable for me to sit through. It was really difficult, but also just, I guess, a good, humbling reminder that, you know, people like this do exist. And I feel like when you get, like I was saying in the beginning, like when you get kind of like trapped in your own like vegan bubble and that ideological echo chamber, when you, I don't know, you almost, it's not even intentional. It's not even that I was going to say you convince yourself, but I don't think that it's intentional at all. But it's like you almost just forget that not everyone has the same knowledge that you do. And I think that this is something that's like really common, even for the whole like protein question that vegans become so upset about. If you were to take yourself out of your vegan lifestyle now, no, I'm not suggesting that you stop being vegan, but if you just like think back to when you were not vegan, think back to when you weren't really educated about what it meant to be vegan, what a plant-based diet looked like. If someone told you like, oh yeah, I'm vegan or whatever, if your entire life, all you've ever known about how to get protein is that you need to eat meat, you need to eat eggs or whatever, someone tells you that you're vegan, I think it's actually a natural question to be kind of confused about where the hell you're getting your protein from then. If someone has been raised their entire life to believe that they need to have milk in order to get calcium, I think it kind of makes sense for them to be confused about like, oh, well, then how do you get that in your diet? But once you've been in it for a while, once you've been vegan for a while, once you've learned those things, it becomes frustrating to be confronted with those questions. Just because you already have that knowledge, you kind of expect other people to have it too, but unfortunately, you know, that's really not how it works. I think that if you have that knowledge, it's your, I don't really want to say that it's your responsibility, because yes, knowledge is so, it is very accessible. A quick Google search will answer almost any question that you have. But I feel like if someone is literally sitting in front of you and they're showing clear signs that they are holding on to misinformation, what harm does it do to just correct them and let them know, hey, this is actually just how things are? If someone has the idea that, you know, it is absolutely impossible to go vegan in their city because there's no vegan options anywhere, what harm does it do to say, hey, actually, you know, there's a restaurant down the street, you might love it, why don't you try it out? If someone is confused about where you're getting your protein or about anything relating to veganism, I don't think that there's any harm in just kindly correcting them and setting them on the right path. I think that's a lot better than like viciously shutting them down or just letting them continue to believe whatever they want to believe and then, I don't know, complaining about it later online. Even though I am complaining about it online right now, in the conversation, I did try my best to correct him. Even though he wasn't that receptive to it, I hope that it changed his perspective a little bit, made him maybe a little bit more open-minded about vegan life in Toronto, if that's something that maybe down the road he'd be interested in, I don't know. But yeah, always just a reminder that like patience is sometimes, it's just required sometimes. You just really need to pull on it in those critical moments. But yeah, I'm actually shocked that I've been talking for this long. I'm having like hot flashes right now. The AC in my house, I don't know who is doing it. I don't know if it's my dad. I don't know if it's my brother. Could be my sister. There is someone who is intent on slowly cooking the entire family to death in their sleep because they just keep turning off the AC. It is summer right now, and I feel as though my skin is just melting off of my bones. I feel like I am having like hot flashes right now. I am actually dying, but anyways, I actually do think that I had a question. Oh, sorry. Today in Vegan Cues, I actually do think that I had a question for the podcast today. I feel like I need to change this from Today in Vegan Cues to just Phoebe's Corner, because I feel like a lot of people are just, for whatever reason, very resistant to talking to me. I promise that I'm a very nice person. I can say nice things sometimes. You know, I know that this podcast maybe makes me come off as a very negative, annoying, complaining person, but I can be nice. You know, I can be friendly. I can make myself more palatable to the public. Would that make you guys want to talk to me more? I don't know. But yeah, I literally should change it to just like Phoebe's Corner, because I feel like 90% of the questions come from her and I just appreciate her so much. But I think she did leave a question on one of my videos. I just can't remember which video it was. And I literally am so low energy right now. As I'm recording this podcast, I'm actually half asleep. Are my eyes closed? Yes, they are. I don't know what video it was. I'm so sorry. I really don't have the energy to find it right now. I feel awful. I really just want to go to sleep. I literally have to be up again at like 10 in the morning to leave. See, now I'm just complaining about things that no one cares about, but, just a reminder, if you guys want to send, questions, I promise I will keep track of them, next time, but you can send them to the email address, theveganinquisitionpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send them to my website, FeliciaFaulkner.com/podcast. There's a little form that you can fill out there, but either way, it'll get to me. Also, if you would like to check out my YouTube channel, you can do that as well. I'm really going to try to start putting in a lot more effort into my channel. Not that I haven't been putting effort into my channel. It's just, I want a more healthy balance of very natural content like vlogs and just random stuff that I feel like is more representative of me as like a whole person. And then I want to have more like curated vegan content. And I feel like I always swing back and forth between those two things. Like my channel is either very vegan heavy or it's very vlog heavy. And I really just am working on finding that happy medium. So if you'd like to come along on that journey with me, my channel is By Felicia. That's BYFELICIA. It's just a ton of vegan stuff, some vlogs here and there. I feel like this podcast went so quickly just because since I knew that I wasn't going to be really editing much out, I kind of forced myself to get to the point pretty quickly. So that's nice. And this podcast is actually going to end up being a decent length. This is beautiful. Look at us go. Feel like I should try this recording format more often, where I just, I don't know, put more pressure on myself to succeed. But yeah, can't wait to talk to you guys next week. But until then, enjoy your glowing green cookies, I guess. Bye.